God has us in Luke chapter 11 as a starting point, He talks to us today about the blessing of unity. Amen. So we're in Luke chapter 11. We're going to read 14 through 17 as God talks to us today about the blessing of unity. And by unity, meaning just really being together. Amen. Being of one mind and of one accord. That's God's plan for us as his people, right? To be unified, to be together, to live in harmony and in peace with one another, to live in love and in joy with one another.
Amen.
Amen. And there's a blessing in unity. Amen. But how many of you know, if that's God's plan, then Satan wants to work directly opposite or in opposition of that plan. And I will tell you this. I believe Satan works harder at causing disruption and division than we as people of God work toward unity.
Amen.
And it should not be that way.
Not at all.
Amen. And we're only hurting ourselves and we're hurting other people when we don't live together, when we don't live in unity. Amen.
Amen.
But there's a blessing in unity I'm praying, amen, that as we open up our ears and our hearts to receive what God has to say, that we will be energized and encouraged and strengthened to say, I'm not living in opposition to people anymore. That I'm going to live in unity with people, amen.
Yes.
With my family, with my church family, with my neighbor, with... Amen. The people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tell you, as we'll see here today, man, there's a blessing in unity. But watch this. There's a flip side to that coin.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you? Hey, there's a blessing in unity. Praise God. But understand that there's an inherent warning, right? That there's a curse in disunity. That there are things when we're not unified that we don't want in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to talk about the blessing of unity today. We're in Luke chapter 11. Let's look at verse number 14. And we're going to read down to verse 17. We'll pray. And then we'll listen to what the Lord has to say. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 14 of Luke chapter 11. It says this. And he, Jesus, was casting out a devil. And it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered, or they were amazed. But some of them said, he cast out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together over the word. Father, we thank you for the scriptures, O God, that were read into our hearing and into our hearts.
Yes.
We pray now, God, that the words, O God, which are quick and powerful, they're alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, will come alive for us.
Yes,
that, Father God, that we will hear what you are saying unto us and that our hearts will be filled with overcoming faith.
Yes.
Father, we thank you right now for taking us up higher and causing us to see and have a different perspective on the things of our lives. Father, we pray that you will open up our eyes and our hearts, O God, and bless us, O God, to come away with understanding on today. And Father, we pray, God, that you will transform us, that you will change us, O God, on this day and make us better.
Yes.
By speaking unto us the word of life. Father, we bow down to you now. We humble ourselves under your hand. We submit to your authority.
Yes,
have your
God.
Blessed way in this place. And to you and you alone we give the praise and glory and honor for the magnificent things you shall do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The blessing of unity. Amen. God wants to talk to us today about that. Amen. Think for a moment. Praise God. Y'all already ad-lib. I already know God's an ad-libber. You know, you can have what you're going to say. You ever go up to somebody, I'm going to tell somebody such and such a thing, and then you get in front of them, and God starts ad-libbing on you?
Yep.
He just flipped the script and changed it, and right, have you saying things that you didn't plan to say. Well, praise God, when God ad-lib, you just go along with it. Amen?
Amen.
But how many of you know right now, if you think about, you know, who you know, people you know, the relationships you have, I believe it's a sad truth, but there's a real strong likelihood that right now there are certain people in your life that you are at odds with. Doesn't mean that you're holding on forgiveness, but you're not in agreement, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who are doing some things that you would rather them not do. Or doing things in ways that you would rather not have them do them.
Mm-hmm.
There's some friction, amen. There's some things. And part of that is just life, because God has made us different.
Yes.
I'm not like you.
Yes.
You're not like me, and amen. And they're not like us. You know, we all have personalities, and we have likes and dislikes. We have preferences. We have idiosyncrasies. We have things in our upbringing that have left distinctive marks on who we are as a person. Mm-hmm. And unless you walked in my shoes, you can't possibly understand that. And that same thing, I can't understand some of the things for you, because some of the things that how you process information and how you respond to things, they are a byproduct of how you have lived your life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if I haven't lived that way, then who am I to make any comment about how you're processing things?
Wow.
But sometimes we allow that to happen. Right? We allow that to happen. But understand that God's will for his people, and we're going to start there because, you know, this is the word of God, and, you know, praise God that the Holy Spirit gives us understanding of the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says you can't understand something of God unless the Spirit of God teaches you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we ask the Holy Spirit for understanding today, and one of the things we understand is that God's will for his people is unity.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm turning real quickly. You don't have to turn there, because I believe it's only three verses. But I may just end up just reading one. And that is from Psalm 133. You can just note it if you want in your notes. Mm-hmm. But Psalm 133, I believe it's only three verses. If I can get there. I love it when you like one page off and it seems like that page don't want to relent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're right there now. That page just want to hold on and not want to let go. The devil is a liar. I got there. Amen. Psalm 133 and 1. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." God says, "Behold." In other words, he said, take a look. Take a look at this. Right? Take a look at how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. Brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what brethren are.
Yes.
Amen. That behold how good and how pleasant it is for the people of God to live together in unity. And it has an exclamation point showing the excitement of God at the very thought of it. Amen.
Amen.
That it is good and it's pleasant for brothers and sisters in Christ to be unified.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's something right there that we need to praise God. That needs to be just heard, right? All over churches, amen. Churches fighting against each other. People in church not talking to one another. People leaving churches and acting like they don't know you anymore. Listen, you're still a brethren. You are still a brother and sister in Christ.
Amen.
And God says it's good and it's pleasant for the brethren, amen, to dwell together in unity. Hebrews 13 and 1 says, "Let brotherly love continue."
Mm-hmm.
Let brotherly love continue. New Living Translation says that we are to keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God doesn't want us the body of Christ to be divided, right? Paul told the church at Corinth that that there should be no divisions among you, right? Mm-hmm. Think about that. No divisions among you. No divisions over music. No divisions. What those are the kind of things that divide churches now?
Yeah.
Music, mm-hmm. style of dress, style of preaching. Who can preach? Women preaching? Oh, what? Right? You can't have a woman preach. Mm-hmm. If she preach, you got to preach down from the floor.
Oh, Jesus.
You can't come up here.
Yeah.
It's for men.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then that's a division. Not a salvation point. Amen?
Amen.
It's not a salvation point. But we get divided over it. Women wearing makeup. Women wearing jewelry. Women wearing pants. What's up with women in the church? Isn't that something? How come there's so many things about women in the church that seem to be division, points of division? Can't wear makeup. Can't wear jewelry. Can't wear pants.
Yes, exactly.
Can't wear a dress that length. Can't preach. Devil is a liar, amen.
Yes.
It's nothing but trying to cause division. But God says, let there be no divisions among you. Let brotherly love continue. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's what God wants for his people. That's what God wants for the church.
Amen.
But God also wants families to live in unity as well. Starting with husband and wife. What did God say? First thing in Genesis chapter 2, he said, listen, talking about marriage. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's unity right there. Right? Two people becoming one. That's what a marriage is supposed to be. And that's God's idea of a marriage. Two people.
Mm-hmm.
A man and a woman, two people, man and a woman, the man leaves his father and his mother, cleaves to his wife, and the two of them become one. That's unity right there.
Amen.
So how many of you know that God is saying that in marriage there's supposed to be unity?
Yes.
We should be unified. You should be unified with your wife. You should be unified with your husband. I mean, you agree on everything. Lord knows, praise the Lord, Pastor Jelly, because I don't agree with my wife with everything. And she don't agree with me on everything.
Amen, amen.
But there's a common bond that brings us together in the end.
Amen.
And that's how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's supposed to be unity in the marriage. There's supposed to be unity in the family. That's why God told children, honor your mother and father. Because when you dishonor them, disobey them, disrespect them, you are disrupting the unity that's supposed to be in the household.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Right? Honor your mother and father, because that helps promote unity in the family.
Amen.
Right? The two become one. That helps promote unity in the marriage. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. But this will discourage them, right? And fathers, that's fathers and mothers, even though it just says fathers. It's saying to parents, don't provoke your children to anger, right? Why? Because that will discourage them, and it will break up the unity that's supposed to be in the household. So we're supposed to be unified in the church. We should be unified in our family. We should be unified in the community. God said that we're supposed to follow peace with all men. Not just the ones you like. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow peace with all men. Romans 12 and 18 says, you know, if possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men.
Amen.
And we'd be going to the further. Well, first of all, it said impossible.
Impossible.
It ain't possible for me. See, no. When it says impossible, it didn't really mean that it's not possible. It's really God laying it at your feet and saying, it's on you.
Amen.
But we like to go, it says impossible. And then it also says, as much as lies within you. I did my part. No, that's not what God is saying, amen.
Yeah.
Live peaceably with who?
All men.
All men.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Your co-worker, your neighbor, strangers out on the street.
Yeah.
Live peaceably with all men. Psalm 34:14 said that we are to seek peace and pursue
it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That means God is saying unto us, be active in seeking out peace and unity in your relationships with other people. Mm-hmm. Seek peace and pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jesus did say in the Beatitudes, amen, blessed are the peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say blessed are the troublemakers. Right?
No.
He didn't say nothing about them folks. But he did say that the peacemakers are blessed. Right? Right? So God wants us to live in a community where we're getting along with everybody around us. Now somebody said, that's impossible.
Amen.
Nothing is impossible with God, and nothing is impossible to those that believe. That's scripture.
Yeah.
What you just said was you. That's impossible. That's not scripture. That's just you. Now let me give you some scripture to go with that. Nothing is impossible with God. And nothing is impossible to those that believe. Are you a believer?
Amen.
Then it's not impossible for you.
Amen.
Amen. So God wants us to live in unity with the church, brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants us to live in unity within the family unit.
Amen.
He wants us to live in unity within our community. And watch this. He wants us to live in unity within ourselves. Do you know, in James says in chapter 1, he said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will freely give it to him and upbraid him not. But then he says this, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, right? He said, nothing wavering, you ask in faith, nothing wavering. He said, I don't need you being like, he said, you know, like you just like you being tossed to and fro by the wind. He said, no, that can't happen. You ask in faith. He said, because if you don't ask in faith, he said, let not that man, the one who wavers, let not that man think he will get what? Anything from God.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So think about a double-mindedness. That means that there's division within yourself. You believe on the one hand, but then you don't believe. You love on the one hand, but then you can't stand this one over here. You're a giver on this side, but you're stingy on the other side. And God is saying, you're divided among yourself. And he said, a double-minded man is unstable. Why? Because that man is fighting against himself. That woman's fighting against himself. I'm telling you, you find somebody who says, I think I'm going to go to school, but I don't know if I have enough time. People who fight against themselves. They want to be good, but then they give in to some other things in their personality that tear them away from doing good. And God said, we have to be unified within ourselves. Otherwise, you're going to one day pick this, and the next day pick that, and the third day you pick something else. But when you are unified within yourself, you know who you are in God, and you make certain decisions, even if it's hard and challenging, you're still going to make that decision because you know how you want to live your life. You've made a decision.
Yes.
Right? Some people, listen, I'll tell you the truth. You know, when I was coming up, I wasn't all on this thing, Brother Les, about doing good to other people. Because, see, it was just about getting ahead.
Amen.
Amen? It's just about getting ahead. So if I had to lie on my taxes, Brother was lying. Why? I wanted my refund to be bigger. That's the only thing I cared about. I wasn't thinking about that I'm cheating the government. I wasn't thinking about, you know, that some kid when I'm going to get milk in the Head Start program because I'm cheating on my taxes. I didn't care about anything like that. I just wanted a bigger refund.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Man, if I went to the supermarket, it would I look to jump the line. I called it being being economical. I was like, ooh, what's these folks waiting in line? I was here first.
Amen.
Come on. I know I'm not the only one. I'm a selfish.
Amen. That's right.
But yet, around people I knew, I was a good person. But I went out there and I was selfish. Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody. You've done it too.
Amen. Amen.
And inside, you know, like playing, you know, ever sometimes you feel like you got two lives going on. You don't feel that way now. I know, because God has changed you. I'm just saying, there was a time where like there were two yous. Maybe three or four. But God wants us to be unified within ourselves. He wants us to have unity within the family unit. He wants us to have unity with our surrounding, our community. And he wants us to have unity in the church. Why? Because there's a blessing in it. Now, before getting to that, I want you to know that if God wants that for you and for me, Satan is trying to disrupt that. And he's actively trying to do it. What does the Bible say? That Satan looks to do nothing but to what? Come on. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he wants to do. He has a threefold mission. To steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. And if that sounds too graphic, and if that sounds too aggressive, I'm sorry, that's the word of God. That Satan wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we're not going to dilute that. So that somehow we can feel better. It's not about feeling better. We need to be prepared for what he's trying to do against you and your family, your community, your church, and to you personally.
Amen.
That's why Peter says, your adversary, the devil. He's not just the adversary, it's personal. He's my adversary, he's yours. And what does he do? He walks around like a roaring lion, doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. And I'm telling you this, the ones who he can devour the easiest are the ones who are not walking in unity.
Amen.
Okay, he can get access to them.
That's right.
Now, understand that Satan's chief tactic is to try to cause division in our relationships. Because how many of you know that we are a subject of our relationships, right? Marriage, children, parents, siblings, extended family, neighbors, church family, employees, employers, teachers, students, drivers, right? Pedestrians. We are in relationship with everybody. Mm-hmm. Nobody here is I Am Legend.
That's right.
Right? Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody here is simply. Want to help them? Instead of just looking at somebody helping.
Amen. Praise God.
Nobody here is just simply living a life by themselves.
Amen.
Nobody. Right? We live in relationship with one another in all of our dealings from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed every single day.
That's right.
And so, what is Satan trying to do? That means he has plenty of opportunities to try to cause division in our relationships. Mm-hmm. He has plenty of opportunity to try to divide and conquer, to get us focused on other people and our differences with them, or the perceived differences with them.
Amen.
And you know why he does that? Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
That's it.
But against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we're really fighting up against. That's who we should be in opposition to. But he tries to make it that I'm in opposition to you and you're in opposition to me. He's a deceiver, amen? And the Bible says he's a deceiver, he's an accuser of the brethren, but he's a deceiver.
Yes.
And he's trying to get us to believe that you're the problem, that I'm the problem, when in truth is, he's the problem.
Amen.
Amen. He's the problem in our lives.
Amen.
Now, here's what Satan does to us. Amen. He tries to take us to the point, right, where he uses certain strategies. And those strategies are that he tries to take us to the point where we believe that the differences that we have between us and the differences that we have among us aren't just differences, but they're rights and they're wrongs.
That's right. That's
right. Right? They're rights and they're wrongs. And pay attention to this, because this happens every single day of the week. Your husband has a different point of view than you. Mm-hmm. Your sister has a different point of view than you. Mm-hmm. Your coworker and your neighbor has a different point of view than you. Mm-hmm. And instead of simply acknowledging the difference and saying, that's all it is, it's just a difference, Satan convinces us that the differences between us are rights and wrongs. Mm-hmm. In other words, what you believe is not different. What you're saying is not different.
Right.
You're wrong, and I'm right. That's what he does.
Yep.
And so now, instead of like just looking at something and seeing that it's a difference between us, and being able to acknowledge and to appreciate the difference, we don't do that, because now it becomes more personal.
Yeah.
You're wrong and I'm right.
Amen.
And he's a master at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
That's right.
I mean, and we do it over simple things.
Yeah.
We do it over simple things.
Yes.
I mean, people get into arguments and they get over how you make macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
You use butter?
Yes.
I don't ever use butter. And now it's not that you make it different. Your macaroni and cheese, you don't make it right.
That's right.
We've seen in this last election.
Uh-oh.
I mean, really, though, listen. I don't have to be the same. I don't have to vote for your candidate. You don't have to vote for mine. But how come if I don't vote for yours, I'm wrong and you're right?
Amen.
How come? Because Satan has used that. He has taken differences and he has transformed them into rights and wrongs.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
People arguing, amen. I take a different way to work than you. It's not the way to go. It is. I can still get to work this way. No, it's not the right way. What do you mean it's not the right way? It's not the way you go. Come on, somebody, but we argue over stuff like that. Because you don't do it the way I do it. You're wrong. I'm right. Satan does that. He's mastered that. Don't fall for that trick.
Amen.
The next time you are talking to somebody and it's simply that you have a difference of opinion, a difference of an approach, difference of experiences, don't make it out into right and wrong.
Amen.
Just acknowledge it and leave it there. Well, we're just different. We just see it differently. Mm-hmm. We're just going to have to agree to disagree, because I don't see it that way. I see it differently. Instead of telling the other person, you're wrong. The other thing Satan does to try to cause division, and this is, I mean, he's a master at this one, he scrambles communications. Mm-hmm. It is not a coincidence, if you think about it, that, and this is purposeful, that one of the first things that military operations look to do when they're fighting the enemy, even in modern warfare, is that they look to destroy the communications unit.
Yes, that's right.
Right? They want to knock out the lines of communication. They want to keep those on the field from being able to communicate to the commanders back on base. They want to knock out communication systems. Mm-hmm. That's one of the first things you do in war. And how many of you know, it's a war when it comes to Satan and the fight against the people of God. We're in a war. And so Satan, know what he's going to do to try to get us to not be unified? He wants to scramble our communications.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you'll say something, and he'll give me a spirit of impatience where I don't even want to listen to what you're saying before I'm ready to say my stuff back. I mean, come on now, we're honest. I mean, how many times you talking to someone and you just can't wait until they take a breath so you can just say what you want to say? Yeah. You're not even listening to them. Not even listening to them. Right? Or they say something and you hear it in a way they go, I didn't say that. How did you hear it that way?
That's right. That's true.
How did you hear when he... How did you hear something so simple as, I'm going to take a lap? And you go, you're going to leave me? How did you hear that?
Oh, God.
Satan will scramble the things. Because if he can get us not talking the same language, come on somebody, if he can get us not talking the same language, then now we're on opposite sides. We're divided.
Yes, yes.
I don't understand. See, and how many relationships have suffered
yes.
because of miscommunications and misunderstandings?
Yes.
That's
yes.
not what I meant.
Amen.
You ever had somebody get mad at you for something that you didn't say, but they took it that way? Did you ever get somebody mad at you because you said something and maybe you didn't quite say it the right way and it's a miscommunication?
Amen.
Oh, Satan loves to scramble our communications. Why? Because he knows that it can mess up our unity.
That's right.
How many people and families aren't talking to each other today because
Jesus.
Of misunderstandings and miscommunications? The person wasn't there for you because they didn't even know what was happening.
Wow. Wow.
Another thing Satan does, amen, in order to try to cause this, again, because God wants unity, and the only reason why we're talking about what Satan does is because we can't be ignorant of his devices.
Right. That's it.
Right? Mm-hmm. He wants to try to convince me that you're the problem when I wrestle not against flesh and blood. He wants to try to convince me that our differences come down to rights and wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to scramble our communications. And the fourth thing he wants to do is spread lies and rumors. Jesus said that Satan is a liar from the beginning and the father of lies, and there's no truth in him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So all he wants to do is a lie on you.
Yeah.
Spread rumors about you. Spread some gossip about you. I will tell you this thing. If you have ever, you can speak for yourself, but one of the more hurtful things that I believe a person can go is to have somebody else lie on them.
Oh, yes. Amen. Amen.
Because you're helpless, amen, the lie is being spread around town,
yes.
and people are believing it, and then the person who's spreading the lie, doing all the talking, and all you're finding out, you're seeing the weed come up from the ground, but you don't see the planting of the weed seed, right, that they're going, oh yeah, she did such and such a thing, and they're just spreading those weed seeds all around, and the next thing you know, a whole harvest of weeds come up, and it's in your yard, amen, because somebody been lying on you, spreading rumors about
yes.
you, slandering
yes.
your good name,
yes.
dragging you
Amen.
Through the mud, misconstruing purposely and misrepresenting what you
Amen.
Did. And if you are walking with God,
yes.
chances are God will tell you something that you won't want to hear. He will tell you, don't say a word.
Jesus. Exactly right.
I can't tell you how many times it got back to me. People were saying things about me, and God said, don't you say a
word. Don't you
word.
Say a word. Not one word.
The battle is not yours. It's the Lord. But God, they're lying on me.
Yes.
Don't say a word.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment
yes.
shall be shown to be wrong. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Ah, you don't know how many times I had to tell myself that scripture.
No, that's right.
Because
no, right.
I felt like saying something.
Oh,
glory to God. But you got to trust in the Lord. But Satan loves to spread seeds of discord and lies and rumors and gossip about you.
Wow.
Why? Because he loves to disrupt your relationships.
Yep.
Another thing Satan does, he draws your attention to the flaws and weaknesses in others and magnifies them. How many of you know that your child's not perfect? How many of you know your husband's not perfect? Your mama's not perfect. Your daddy's not perfect. Your wife is not perfect. Your boss is not perfect. Your employees are not perfect. Come on, somebody. Why do we act as if the imperfections of people surprise us? I mean, really? Really? You didn't think they had a weakness or a flaw? Really? You expected them to be perfect? I know people go around talking about, I'm 100. You ain't 100 nothing. Amen. Ain't nobody 100. Amen. On your best day, you ain't 100. You 75. Why do we act like we're so surprised when people are people, when they show the frailty of their humanity? None of us are perfect. I told this before, I'll tell it again, because this one got a kick. I got a kick out of this one. Because I know God gave it to me. Because God gave me some good jokes. God gave me some good material. My sister now was so mad at me, she ran on that. And she's saying all this stuff. And I said, don't get too mad at this mistake, because there's plenty more where that came from. When that came out of my mouth, Brother Les, I said, man, that's from heaven. I wasn't thinking about that. But how many of you know that there are many mistakes on the inside of you? Oh, just keep on living. There's some more coming, and there's some doozies. I hate me to want to tell you, but there are some dumb decisions in your future.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. I know. Don't just talk about this. No, I'm talking about you. But we magnify the frailties, the weaknesses, the imperfections in people, and sometimes we exaggerate them.
Yeah, we do.
Right? We say things like, she always does that. No, she don't always. You never. No, sometimes he does. You never listen to me. That's not true. It's just plainly not true. You never listen. We get all exaggerated. Why? Because when we exaggerate the flaws of other people, it helps us win the argument.
Oh, Lord.
What's the Bible say? The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Come on, somebody. Love covers a multitude of sins. And so even when we live with imperfect people who don't do things perfectly, if we love them, that will cover the imperfect. But Satan doesn't want us to walk that way. He wants to tell us how bad they are, how much they never listen to us, how much they always let us down, and this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. Look at him. He's over there smacking his mouth. He don't even know how to eat. I'm just trying to tell you, there are some women who have foregone the husband that God created for them because the person smacked them out. You don't even know how to chew, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, come on, women. There are some of you who have rejected men because at the time, they weren't driving right, they didn't have the right job, but what? I bet you if you Facebook them now, he owns a dealership. Ha!
Uh-oh.
And he ain't driving. We magnify people's wrong. Mm-hmm. Satan also tries to convince us that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence.
Yep.
Hmm?
Yep.
It's better. Your neighbor got greener grass. Your neighbor got a better spot. Your neighbor's children behave better than yours. Their job is better than yours. Grass is greener. Grass is greener on the other side of the fence. I heard somebody say, the grass is greener wherever you water it.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So if their grass is greener, don't be looking over there. Get out the hose and water your grass.
Amen.
Amen. Tell my grass is greener. Amen. Stop looking over there and put on the sprinklers. Right? Water your own grass. But also, too, be content with such things as you have. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says, right? We need to be content with such things as you have. Yeah, my neighbor's got a bigger house than me, but I love my house. Come on, somebody. Somebody got a, they're driving a better car than me, but that's all right. I love the car God gave me.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Somebody's making more money, but you know what? That's one of the things, in fact. When the soldiers came out to see John the Baptist in the wilderness, they said, what should we do? But everybody's asking, what should we do? What should we do? And the soldiers said, what should we do? And John the Baptist said, don't assault people and don't falsely accuse people and be content with your wages.
Yes.
Huh? Somebody, some employee right now, Brother Les, need to hear that. Take it back to, take it to them tomorrow, amen. Take scripture back to one of your employees tomorrow. They say, I don't get paid enough. He said, didn't you read the word? Have you not read? Be like Jesus. Have you not read? Be content with your wages. Amen. Amen. Paul said, look, I have learned that whatever I have, therewith to be content. So listen, but Satan wanted to, that church is better, that car that they're driving is better, this is better, everybody got better than you. Don't fall for that trick. He's just trying to cause division.
That's all.
The grass is not greener over there. It's a matter of perspective. I will tell you this. People look at my lawn and go, oh, your grass is green. Come into my lawn and see all the bare spots. See, you can't see that from across the street. You just see the grass on the surface. Oh, but when you stand in the grass, you see all the brown spots. You see the bare spots. See, that's all he's doing. So he'll show you the grass from a distance. Why does he do that? Because when you get up close, you'll see the imperfections. Oh, there's many a person who thought they saw somebody who looked good. But when you got up close... He said, no, my husband just fine. And Gavin, his teeth were so big you could kick a football through.
No. No, he didn't say that.
Yeah, I said it.
Oh, no.
So this is the tactics that you're right. What is he trying to do? He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy your relationship. Because he understands, Satan does, that God wants you to dwell in unity with your brethren in the church, with your family, with your neighbors, people you come in contact with, and even within yourself. And so he tries to cause these divisions. Right? And I want you to know, if you look in the Bible, you'll see how the power of division, because you see how God used it. We just read about Gideon. Right?
Yeah.
Gideon, the mighty man of valor, who was going against thousands and thousands of Midianites, and God reduced his army to what? 300. What was their game plan? They had lanterns and they had trumpets. Right? Remember?
Yeah.
And they smashed the lanterns and they blew the trumpets. And it says that the Lord caused the warriors in the Midianite camp to fight each other with their swords. You see what happened when we turn on each other? Nobody even has to fight us. Gideon didn't have to fight those Midianites. Why? Because they were fighting themselves. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened to the people of Ammon and the people of Moab and those who came up against Jehoshaphat. Remember that? They came up against Jehoshaphat and God said to send people out and they were praising. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Remember that?
Yes.
And they started fighting against themselves and they killed each other. And God's people went in to pick up the spoil.
Yeah. Amen.
So you see how division can work? See, division can cause you, if you're a person of God, you let people fight. We've seen it in the Bible. And Gideon just stood back. Jehoshaphat just stood back and let them people destroy themselves. I want you to know, Satan looks at that and goes, oh, that's how it works?
Wow.
So let me cause division between husband and wife. So he causes some division. The state wasn't made by is not made right. And now he don't ask for anything else. Once you take the bait, this steak was not made right. You never know how to make steak.
Problem.
The woman across the street makes perfect steaks. And all Satan does is just go, he don't have to do anything else. than that, you're going to destroy each other.
Yeah.
Well, if you had a better job, I could buy better quality things.
He just can stand back now and let y'all fight.
Yeah.
Because all he wants to do is cause a division. Mm-hmm. And now he can just take, he doesn't have to get into the fight. He lets you and I fight each other. Mm-hmm. He wants me fighting against my wife. He wants my wife fighting against me. He wants our kids fighting against parents. He wants, and that's all he wants to do. He's trying to stir it up.
Yes.
And then he steps back and just allows it to take its natural course. And just like the people of God, amen, when you look at Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, when those armies defeated themselves, it said that God's people, after the enemy destroyed themselves, God's people just walked into the camp and picked up the spoil. Yeah. Picked up all the goods. Took them 3 days. It was so much. They're stuffing it in their pockets and in their bags.
Wow.
And that's what Satan does. He lets you and I fight. He sits back. And then when the wreckage is there, he goes over there and goes, let me pick up this broken marriage. This marriage is over. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, I got him to get married at his boy. He don't have no job no more.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on, we're not going. We're not falling for that, amen.
Yeah.
We're not falling for that. So now let's it's enough of him. Let's just end this by talking about the blessing of unity, because God wants us to be unified.
Amen.
Why does He want us to be unified? Well, let's go to some scripture. Right, watch this. In Matthew 18 and 19, Jesus said this. Again, I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them. Of my Father, which is in heaven. Mm-hmm. So what's that saying? That when we're unified, we have the blessing of answered prayer.
Amen.
Hmm? We have the blessing of answered prayer. When I'm in unity with my wife, and if I'm in unity with my brother, if I'm in unity with those around me, if I'm living in unity with those around me, amen, now I have some prayer partners that I can touch and agree with. And God says that if I'm in unity with people that I'm praying with, then I'll have what I'm asking. There's a power and a blessing of answered prayer that comes with unity.
That's right. Amen.
See why Satan don't want you to be unified with your wife? Mm-hmm. Because that's the one you should be closest to the most. Two shall become one flesh. He wants you fighting. Why? So that now when you try to pray, that's why this Bible even said to the husband, listen, live with your wife according to the knowledge that your prayers be not hindered.
Yeah.
Right? But when we're unified, we have the blessing of answered prayer.
That's right.
What else happens when we're unified? We have strength in the battle.
Yes. Amen.
And again, I'm giving you nothing but word. And in Deuteronomy 32 and 30, it says that one can chase 1,000, but what? Two can put 10,000 to flight. Come on, somebody. So if I'm unified with you and you're standing with me, we can put 10,000 demons on the run.
Amen.
In my own strength, with the Spirit of God in me, it said one will chase 1,000. Mm-hmm. But what happens if you got more than 1,000 demons attacking you? Amen. Two of us can put 10,000 to flight. Amen. So we're standing locked arm in arm. When we're unified, oh my God. That's why Satan hates to see the body of Christ unified. Because if we're unified, oh, we can do some damage to the kingdom of darkness.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
What else happens when we're unified? Jesus said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, then I'd be in the midst. That means that the presence of Jesus is with us in unity.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Amen.
Have you ever been at odds with somebody and then think you're walking with Jesus and you know you're walking lonely? But you can just feel that God's not really too pleased that you're fighting in that odds with somebody. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if you gather in my name, that means you and I have to come here with one mind, one accord, one purpose. And when we come in that way, Jesus said, I'm part of that.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm part of that. But when you come doing your own thing and somebody else comes doing their own thing, Jesus said, I don't have anything to do with that.
That's right.
The blessings of unity. Here's another one, number four. The blessing of unity. It'll pave the way to sound decision making. Where do you get that from? From Colossians 3 and 15. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. Watch this. Watch what it says. It says, and let the peace, soul harmony which comes from Christ, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you were called. God says that the peace that we have, that soul unity that we have, acts as an umpire in our hearts and allows us to make with finality all decisions. That means you and I are in a better position to make better decisions when we're walking unified.
Amen.
Satan wants to sow the seed of discord because he wants to disrupt your decision making. Because he knows that every decision bears a consequence. Yeah. And if I can get you to decide wrong, you'll have the wrong consequences for your life. But if we decide, but if we walk in unity, we're in a position to make better decisions. Amen. What else does unity do? It provides a witness to the world that we're disciples of Christ. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another. Why are you fighting with each other?
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking to you. You're not talking to me. Don't talk to me about that church. I don't want to hear about that. Did you hear about what's going on with Pastor so-and-so? See, he wants that to be happening, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because now our witness is destroyed. Mm-hmm. We walk around sometimes in the church and wondering why the world doesn't pay us any attention. Because we're fighting too much.
That's it. Exactly.
We're fighting each other too much.
Yep.
By this shall all men know that you're a disciple of Christ. If you have love one to another. That's what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And what about this one? Listen to this. Jesus prayed that we would be one. In John 17, he prayed that we would be one just as the Father and he are one. He said this. He said, may they all be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Watch this. That the world may believe that you sent me.
Amen.
Do you get that? If we walked in greater unity with one another, more people in this world will believe that the Father sent Jesus and the earth as a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Why should they believe that? If we can't even live in love with one another. Fighting more. We do. If we're fighting just as much as the world is fighting, then why should people believe?
That's right.
And then lastly, amen, I'm going to finish reading Psalm 133. Watch this. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We said God is excited about that. Exclamation point behind that.
Mm-hmm.
It's good and it's pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now watch this, verse 2. It is like the precious ointment. What? Is like the precious ointment, dwelling together in unity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, and the dew of Hermon, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing,
mm-hmm.
even life evermore. In unity, God commands blessings upon his people. Amen.
Yeah.
And that's why Satan doesn't want us to be unified. That's why he tries to scramble our communications.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he does all the things that he tries to do, because he just wants us to sit back and make his job easier by fighting against one another. He sits back and just watches us destroy ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We squander the commanded blessing. We squander our witness in the earth. Right? We make bad decisions.
Yeah.
Jesus is not among us because we people are out for themselves. Our prayers aren't answered.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of putting 10,000 to flight, we got a bunch of little imps chasing us off our spot. When
yeah.
I should be able to at least chase 1,000, and together we can chase 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
But how many of you know, amen, we're not falling for those tricks.
That's right, amen.
Right? You and I cannot afford to not be in unity in our families, in the church, in our communities, and within ourselves. And so when Satan tries to cause division, don't fall for it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let him scramble your communication. Don't make him, you know, allow him to change differences into rights and wrongs. And all the things that we talked about, be not ignorant of his devices.
That's right.
And remember the commandment of God, that he wants us to walk in unity, because there's blessing, there's power, there's sound decision making, there's a powerful witness to the earth, there's evangelism that people can know that God sent Jesus as the Savior of the world, there's strength in the battle.
Yes.
I mean, there are so many blessings if we will walk together in unity.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? I don't have time to be fighting you, amen?
Amen.
No way. I'm not falling for it. And you're not falling for it either. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Amen.
Somebody do something, they say sorry, you know, don't be like this little guy, you were the kid. Sorry, I didn't do it. You did. Remember you said that? Be a grown up. Amen. Accept the apology. Be quick to get over stuff. Don't let it linger. Don't let Satan, you know, magnify your resentments and your past hurts. Get over it. Get over it.
Yes, get over it.
Because it's division.
Amen.
And division is dangerous. Amen?
Amen.
But unity is a blessing.
Amen.
And we are seeking out the blessing of unity. Amen?
Amen.
Ooh, Lord, thank you for your strength.
Amen.
Let's rest on our feet this morning and pray that we will walk in unity with one another.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Father, we bless you and thank you. We heard your voice today.
Amen.
There is a blessing in unity.
Yeah.
God, we ask you first and foremost to forgive us of all the times when we have sown seeds of discord, when we have allowed division in our midst, when we have argued and turned differences into rights and wrongs,
yes,
and all the things, God, that you have taught us better than to do. Father, forgive us, O God, of our failings, and strengthen us, O God, to be better on this day and every day going forward.
Yes, Father.
To live in unity with our brethren, with our families, with our communities, and even, God, within ourselves.
Yes, God.
Father, there is a blessing in unity. Teach us to be mindful of all of Satan's devices. Help us to immediately identify them, O God, and then to resist the devil.
Yes.
And according to your word, as we submit unto you and resist him, he shall flee from us in the name of Jesus. Show us, O God, even the more how to walk in unity and harmony in agreement with one another.
Yes.
Help us, O God, to overcome our differences, O God. Help us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, to see the truth of your word.
Yes,
that there is a blessing in unity. And from this time forward, O God, let us seek peace and pursue it. Let us look to get along and to get along with one another, O God,
yes,
that,
Lord.
Father God, you may be glorified in the earth. And that, Father, that the blessings of God will be upon the heads of your people, and we may go forward and do the will of the Lord.
Yes.
Father, we thank you right now that we are unified.
Yes.
We live in unity. We walk in unity.
Yes.
And, Father, it is all your doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. And so we give you the praise and we give you the thanks for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.